For Sunrise Bakery, let us do the cooking. Another Tasmania Talks podcast.
Well, good morning and welcome to Tasmania Talks. I'm Brian Carlton. How are you going? Broadcasting live today from the beautiful refurbished Penny Royal in Launceston. I'll tell you some more about that as we move through the morning. As ever, though, it's Free Range Friday. You can jump on the phone, 1300 00 1012, if there's an issue you'd like to mention. You feel like you would like some feedback on or other people to talk about, please jump on the phone, 1300 00 1012. As ever, broadcasting live right across the northern half of the best state in the land via LAFM, 7BU in Burnie, 7AD in Devonport, and, of course, over in the beautiful West Coast, 7XS out of Queenstown and covering the northeast, 7SD at Scottsdale. Good morning to you all. Well, Penny Royal, wow, I've got to tell you, this is possibly the best location I've ever been at for an outside broadcast, and I've been doing it for many, many years now. It's wonderful. Let me just set the scene for you. If you remember, as I do, visiting the Penny Royal as a kid, there are echoes of that in the refurbishment, but it's a whole other thing, and it is just a wonderful, wonderful place. I came to the official opening back in March when the Joseph Cromie Group decided to unveil exactly what had been going on over the past 18 months behind lots of cyclone wire and blue tarps. There was a fair bit of that for a while as you drove past the site, and everybody was sort of thinking, well, gee, what is going on inside? What they've come up with is absolutely fabulous. The nature of the buildings, the way they've been completely renovated, but in kind with the nature of the site from a century and a half ago and more ago, is in character, absolutely. Add to that some state-of-the-art animatronics, video walls projected, a wall screen made of water, right? A water screen. They actually project pictures onto it. The waterfall coming off to my right here, which you can probably just hear in the background. I'll just stop for a second. I don't know whether you can hear that or not, but there's just the water cascading down what is effectively the backside of the Cataract Gorge. What else am I looking at here? Gee, there's so much to look at. Over there is a massive, massive Halloween pumpkin. It is the biggest thing I've ever seen. It's actually like a jumping castle for the kids. There is a huge party going on here on tomorrow night, Saturday night. I'll tell you some more about that as we move through the show for Halloween. Come and say good day. Just wander in. We're straight up the main entrance, so walk in the main stairs and just hook around to the left, and we're right there outside, adjacent to the lagoon. I'm looking at Sarah's Island, where there'll be a band playing on Saturday evening. You can do the dark ride, of course, if you'd like to. There's wine, there's beer, there's food, the restaurants over there. I mean, it's just a terrific place. This is just destined to become the leisure and, I guess, entertainment precinct for Launceston. We're at the Penny Royal. Come on down, say good day. 1300 00 1012 is the number if you'd alternately like to call. Okay, so what's on the agenda today? Dear, oh dear. Hydro Tasmania. Depending on which paper you read today, the loss is $65 million to $67 million. And believe it or not, there are people breathing a sigh of relief today about that number. The expectation was that it had come in something like a $90 million loss off the back of the energy crisis. Is it good? No, it's not good. The word has always been from the government, though, that $67 million will not be recouped from you via higher power bills. Remains to be seen. But look, the cost of the crisis is that, apart from the cost borne to business, and we know that was in many instances, say Bell Bay Aluminium, somewhere between $10 and $20 million just for that organisation. So the large corporate customers in state took an absolute whack on the as a result of the energy crisis, and clearly so is Hydro, and by extension you and I, because we own Hydro collectively. If you want to weigh in on that, please again feel free. I think Brian Green's probably got a point we've made often as we move through the course of the crisis, Brian Green the opposition leader, that it was silly not to get the Tamar Valley Power Station back up and running earlier when they realised what was going on in terms of the weather forecast, the lack of rain, the extended El Nino. There were so many indicators there that suggested that not only not decommissioning it, but leaving it on and building it into the energy mix would have been a good thing to do. Front page story in the Mercury today. Footy fans, I might need your help here. Jump on the phone, give me a call, 1300 00 1012. The Tassie Derby is the front page of the Mercury today. So the boss of the AFL, Rob Auld, in state, he wants a couple of Roos versus Hawks match, or one Roos versus Hawks match every year. So irrespective of how the rest of the draw works out, this will be a fixture annually. Look, there is a suggestion, and I was speaking with my good mate Rob Fairsy from the LAFM Breakfast Show just a tad earlier. If you were listening to it through LAFM, you would have heard the chat. The suspicion is, and well, actually it's not a suspicion, we know damn well that the AFL actually wants to lose the Hawks from state and make us a one-team state, but not a Tassie team. jump on the phone, gang. What do you think? Is this a good idea or not? Or does it sort of signal the beginning of the end for the Hawks? 1300 00 1012, number the same. Look, gee, I tell you what, there's some stuff going on around the Dreamworld incident, and certainly the ardent annual general meeting yesterday, which was a disaster of some proportions from a corporate point of view. I won't bore you with the detail. You've seen it all in the news. You've heard it. You've been listening to it. But quite simply, this is a case study in how not to handle a company drama. When you have some sort of, well, a serious problem for a corporate is the death of a patron, the death of a customer, the death of a client. I mean, if you're a manufacturer, say, for example, and your phone blows up, killing your customer, that's not a good look. Clearly, it's not. For companies like Ardent, who operate organizations like sites like Dreamworld, this is about as bad as it gets in terms of damage to the company, potential damage to the company. I don't know who was advising them yesterday. I would suspect that that individual or that company, whoever it was, if it was internal, that was their first mistake. You should never, ever go with internal advice on those sorts of issues. Always seek some external opinion, because they don't bring the corporate baggage with them when you get that advice. But whoever was advising me yesterday, I guarantee you will not be today. It will become a case study in how not to handle an issue, an external issue, and a very serious external issue. Again, I won't go through the checkpoints because there's just too many of them, and it sounds like, it sounds gratuitous after a while. But just one observation I might make. Deborah Thomas, who was the subject of much of the criticism and, in fact, made a large donation personally at the end of the day yesterday after all the drama, she is a very well-respected journalist. She's been around for a very long time, a publisher. She said a couple of things during yesterday's press conference that just made the journalistic world reel, and that is that a journalist of her stature was not able to get the phone numbers of the relatives of the victims of the incident at Dreamworld. Nobody believes that. The other astonishing statement was that the family had been contacted by the company. Past tense, that had happened. Well, it turns out that it hadn't, because the family concerned was actually watching the broadcast and had SMS'd the extent to which they were annoyed to a journalist, who then promptly turned around and asked Deborah Thomas the question. It was not good. It was not good at all. So, I don't want to belabor the point, but, gee, there are lots and lots of lessons here for anybody who operates in the corporate space, anybody who operates any kind of company. There are ways to do these things, and there are ways to handle them, and there are ways not to handle them. And yesterday's, trust me, was an absolute case study in how not to do it. The age of entitlement. Remember, Joe Hockey declared it, and we ripped Joe, well, a couple of new ones the other day, didn't we? I must confess to doing that. That's true. The Victorian's corrections Victorian corrections minister. I'm sorry, I've been chuckling about this story all night, and I can't believe the reaction to it. His name's Steve Herbert, and he's got a couple of dogs called Patch and Ted. And Patch and Ted get a lift every now and again in a comm car. And anyway, he's been found out. He's been caught out. And the question now is it a sackable offence? Is it a sackable? And the number of people who go, no, probably not. No, it's okay. He'll do his time. You know, he can come back. He's a good guy. There's lots of wriggle room here for him. Oh, come on. Come on. The guy is... I mean, look, if you need to send your dogs from one place to another in a comm car, I'm okay for you to do that, as long as the dog is doing the job. As long as the dog... In fact, the dog would be better. The dogs would be better at the job than this minister. He's got to go. He has to... He's got to fall on his sword or be sacked. There is just no other option. If you do need to transport your dogs in the comm car, then pay for it. We're okay with that. You know, if the situation transpires that you are, as a minister, require a comm car to get around, and circumstances require that you be in one place and your dogs be in another place, by all means, use the Comcar to do it, use the driver, no problem, but pay for the trip. And that's the problem here. He hasn't paid for it. He's done it on the taxpayer. COAG meeting today, talking about a whole range of things, as you're no doubt aware from the news. We'll get into the show. 1300 00 1012 is the telephone number. Jump on the show. Jump on the phone if you'd like to. If you'd like to have a chat about any issue you want. Happy to take calls on the footy too. The once a season local derby between the Hawks and the Roos. Is it the beginning of the end for the Hawks, which some people suspect? 1300 00 1012. We're broadcasting today live from Pennyroyal. I'll tell you about the big Halloween party that's on tomorrow night here. It's going to be an absolute cracker. 1300 00 1012. Taz Talks, I'm Brian.
For My Pathway, for all your employment, training and recruitment needs, another Tasmania Talks podcast.
Joining me is Eamon Seddon, who's the general manager of the Pennyroyal Adventures, and he's sitting right next to me. How are you going, Eamon?
Good morning.
Mate, this is... It's wonderful. I mean, I don't quite know how to sort of describe it, other than that my early childhood memories of coming here as about an 8 or 9 year old for the very first time, and it haunt me is probably the wrong word, too strong, but the images, the images of the building. It was cold, it was wet, the gorge was in flood at the time and was absolutely powering the noise in here from the gorge just going berserk was extraordinary, and it left me with a sense of Tasmania heritage, bushranger, old, just the architecture of the place, the vibe of the place, the natural setting, this sort of rock amphitheater in which we sit. It created an atmosphere that I'd never really experienced before as a kid. That has stayed with me all these years. So when I came back in March to see the refurbished version, there was just echoes of that time whizzing around my head, and I'm thinking, that's very similar to the way, that actually looks a lot better than it did before. And I'm sort of doing this mental rematch or rebuild in my head. How hard was it to get the balance right between creating a modern, interesting, interactive adventure site, maintaining the heritage, but then offering wonderful dining, top end dining, boutique beers, all of that? Is it a hard balance to get right? Because you seem to have nailed it.
Well, I wasn't around for the design stages, and I think this is the genius of Joe Cromey, and being able to look at a place and say, we can do this with it. And what he's created here is a top-notch tourism precinct. It beats the socks off places I've seen in the rest of mainland Australia and internationally. And it's on, as you say, it's on our doorstep here in Launceston. It's 5 minutes walk from the CBD.
Yeah.
And when you step through the gates, you enter this totally other world.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, gentle waterfalls, a sense of history with some of the rides that retells the story of our local bushranger, Matthew Brady. And I think you've also touched on a very strong point that it has a very strong local connection.
Mm.
So I've met so many people from Hobart, Launceston, the North Coast, that have been here as kids, and they remember it. It's a revisit
yes,
for their memories, let alone the growth in general tourism that we've got in the area at the moment that is bringing fresh people onto the complex.
There was, in my experience as a young person, nothing else like it. And its uniqueness was the thing that perhaps registered in my head. And being from Sydney, where the climate is not usually cold and misty and raining, and as it was when I was here back then, the atmospherics of it were, there's a magic of the, is it this location? There's just a magic about it, and it's impossible to put your finger on.
I think you're absolutely right. It is magical. You know, we go to some of our iconic destinations like Liffey Falls, some of the go down onto the West Coast, and I get back to it. We've got this magical experience on our doorstep, the gentle water running down a 65, 70 foot waterfall. And as a consequence, you get this atmosphere, as you correctly put it, that transforms you into, transports you into another world.
We've got, there's a boutique brewery, fine dining, The dark ride, which I've been on, is wonderful, telling the story of Matthew Brady. I'm going to talk to Dean Cocker a little later about his songwriting skills, because I only learned yesterday that he wrote some of the words and the songs that you hear on the ride.
Absolutely, and for many locals, they'd know Dean appearing in Phantom of the Opera with our locals, so he's got a hidden talent as well as...
The secret side of Dean Cocker. Yeah. We'll have a chat about that as we move through the week. So tell me, let's get a big spruik on for tomorrow night. It's going to be enormous here. In fact, it's tomorrow afternoon, really,
isn't it? It's tomorrow afternoon. We start at 4 o'clock. We've got lots of extra activities for the kids, let alone what's normally here. So, for example, apple bobbing will be a bit of fun. The sorts of things I remember as a kid about Halloween. A little bit of trick-or-treating. We're encouraging all the kids to come down dressed up. Brussels sprouts. get dressed up. There will be a competition for the best-dressed kid. There's live music on from 4 o'clock. And as we move into the evening, it'll move in towards a genre for the adults, where the live music will continue. There's themed dining in the restaurant, as you mentioned, the brew house, which brews very, very fine.
I'm sorry, we had a little bit of a line drop out there. As anybody who has operated a mobile phone in Tasmania, which is pretty much everyone, has discovered, there are certain black spots and things that happen to mobile signals. We were chatting with Eamon Seddon, who's the general manager of the Penny Royal Adventures here, and just about what's going on tomorrow night, largely. While the break was on, Eamon, you mentioned that there's been a 22% increase in bed nights in Launceston year.
This was over the last 12 months, it really does show, one, how Tasmania is becoming extremely popular. We're getting a lot more repeat visitation off the mainland and internationally. Our Asian market is growing significantly. And in many ways, this investment and many other investments in the area back that up. There is a confidence within tourism within the north of the state that we've not seen for 15 years.
Okay, now, so what you want people to do is bring kids along tomorrow from 4 o'clock. Well, what's there's a small entry fee, isn't there? But beyond that, the kids are free.
Yep, that's it. Kids under 13 are free anyway. There's a small gate charge of $10 for the adults to get in, and that basically will cover our costs of having the live music on.
Yep.
We've got Matthew Garwood down from 5 o'clock, and then a 80s band called Last Train playing a couple of sets into the evening, and a couple of other local musicians as well supporting them. Right the way through the evening.
Okay, so there's face painting for the kids, which is the guaranteed way to get the kid to sit down for 20 minutes without moving. It's the only way.
It is the only way. Face painting, apple bobbing, toffee apples, lots of fun for the kids.
And of course, the giant jumping pumpkin.
That's pretty amazing. We've got this 6-meter giant pumpkin.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to come down just to have a look at the biggest pumpkin you've ever seen. It's ginormous. Okay, Eamon, it's a great pleasure to meet you. Thanks for hosting us here today. It really is one of the great locations. I've done outside broadcasts from all sorts of places, and this is about as good as it gets. It is just stunning to be here.
It's an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your morning.
I will, and congratulations on everything that you guys have worked so hard to achieve here over the past couple of years, because it really has been a spectacular effort to turn what was a pretty rundown, fairly dilapidated site into really an absolutely world-class tourism and entertainment site. Come and say good day. We are at Penny Royal at Launceston.
For Sunrise Bakery, let us do the cooking. Another Tasmania Talks podcast.
Okay, now let's do something somewhat more serious. Joining me, as ever, on a Friday, we try and give you a used car, bargain of the week, really, a deal of the week. And to that extent, we talk to wonderful sponsor of Tasmania Talks, Gowans Toyota. Today, we're at Devonport. Lee Shaw is a sales exec at Gowans at Devonport, and we've got a crack. I guess you'd call this a hot hatch, wouldn't you, Lee?
Absolutely, Brian. Definitely would come under the banner of hot hatch, this little beauty. My word, it will.
Okay, so we've got a 2014 Ford Fiesta, which is a crack and drive. They're wonderful things. It's the ST version. It's the turbo three-door version, and it's black. It's got 17-inch alloys. It's clean. It's done very few Ks, and it's an absolute steal at $21,990, excluding government.
Brian, at $21,990, I've got to tell you, this is a fantastic little car. It's a real ripper. Not a lot of them around, so it makes it a fairly rare little item. But, yeah, you're right, black in colour, done 17,700 Ks. She's a 6-speed manual turbo engine.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Oh, man, it's a proper 3-pedaler. You kind of need that if you want a hot hatch. A lot of hot hatches these days are coming out with the so-called flappy paddle gearboxes, and they've only got two pedals on the floor, mate. But if a proper 3-pedaler, this one.
Absolutely. That's the only way to go in a little vehicle like this. You've got to have the 3 pedals. Ryan makes it a lot more fun and enjoyable. You can have it any other way in a beautiful car like this.
No, it's a fabulous thing. All right, now, I've driven one of these. I recommend them highly. I was given one by Ford when they came out to drive for a weekend and see what it was like, and I thought it was a cracking little thing. So, Lee, this is at Devonport. Is it not 41 Best Street at the Devonport location?
Yeah, right. We're at 41 Best Street, right in the middle of town. So, and this little beauty, anyone that drives past today will see it sitting on the front row. It certainly stands out. All the features that you'd expect out of the car, and if you're interested in that sort of thing, by all means, come in and have a drive. You won't be sorry. It's a beautiful little car.
All right, Lee. I appreciate your time today, mate. Thanks for your support as ever, and I'll give everyone the details of that. Right, it's a 2014 Ford Fiesta ST, so it's the turbo version. It's three-door. It's black. It's got black 17-inch rims, so it's black. Mm-hmm. It looks fabulous. The interior is clean as. And $21,990, excluding the governments, is the deal. And it's a 3-pedaler, so it's a proper car. You know, it's a proper car. Do yourself a favor. Go and see Gowans at Devonport. Gowans Toyota at Devonport at 41 Best Street, and you'll see the car sitting there in the lot. Take it for a drive. Say good day to Lee for me. In fact, ask for Lee when you walk in there. Lee, champion, mate. Have a great weekend. So pass on the best to everyone at Gowans, mate.
Will do, Brian. And just for the record, mate, I think you should do the pumpkin.
thank you, Lee. I'm not sure I need any encouragement from you guys, but okay, all right. I'll take that on board. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate it, mate. Lee Shaw from Gowans Toyota at Devonport. They're just lovely, lovely people. I do love them. It's funny. You go to some businesses and you get a sense that it's a business. So you walk into Gowans Toyota, and I don't care whether it's at Devonport or Burnie. And you just feel like, I don't know, this is a family sort of thing about it. There's just a great sense of humour. There's wonderful, wonderful family business. Go say good day. Gowans Toyota at Devonport and Burnie.
For My Pathway, for all your employment, training and recruitment needs, another Tasmania Talks podcast.
Good morning and welcome back, hour two of Tasmania Talks. I'm Brian Carlton. We are broadcasting today live from the Penny Royal in Launceston, one of the great, great outdoor locations I've done broadcasts from. I love a look on the tourist faces when they walk in. There's a couple of ladies just literally standing over here now, looking up at the waterfall, and the jaw is slack and the eyes are wide, and that's wow, and just pointing. And when you see that kind of reaction on a visitor face, you know you're doing something right. We are at the Penny Royal, as I mentioned. Come and say good day, or alternately, you can jump on the phone if you've got something to say. 1-300-00-1012 is the telephone number. Big weekend coming up at Penny Royal, particularly tomorrow night. As you know, the massive Halloween party that kicks off at 4 o'clock, which we'll tell you about a bit more later. But just in terms of the actual development, the time it's taken to get it to this state, the amount of effort that's gone into getting that balance I was alluding to earlier between a modern visitor tourist experience married up with the heritage and the history, and also the interactive technology that's been built into the Penny Royal experience. Some of the animatronics, for example, are absolutely state of the art. So it's this incredible blend of styles and periods, but the overall impact of it is like walking into another world, and it does literally transport you to somewhere else. And it's one of the things that I've always loved about the place. One of the drivers, possibly the driver, apart from Joseph Cromie, who's I guess the emotional driver behind the whole project, is Dean Cocker, who's the managing director of the JAC Group, and he's sitting next to me right now at Penny Royal. Dean, congratulations first up. It is a wonderful thing you've done for our state. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here, and it's a fantastic development for Launceston and Northern Tasmania.
How's it been received generally? What's the? Yeah, I mean, you'd obviously be across numbers and the attitude of the people. I've just described a couple of tourists, ogling at this wonderful waterfall you've got here. But for those who maybe have a memory of it pre the renovation and the restoration, how is it? The compare and contrast favourable for them?
Look, I think a lot of people have nostalgia for the old Penny Royal, and they've loved coming back. And some people have said, "Oh, we used to love the barge ride," and they come back, but what we've actually done is put it on steroids, basically, and soup it up so that it's more up to date. When it was developed back in the late 1970s, expectations were perhaps a bit different. These days, families can travel to the Gold Coast to go to the parks there. Although they've got a few issues, but you know, people go to Disneyland in Tokyo or Europe, Paris, America. It's quite routine now for families to take overseas holidays. They see the best in the world, so we thought we'd better bring the best in the world to here. So we actually got, for example, with the animatronics in the dark ride, we actually got the people who do the Disneyland animatronics, Sally Corp in Jacksonville, Florida, or one of the many that that assist with Disneyland, mm-hmm. and we actually had them help us to put some of the characters in, but we also used local people as well.
And the story of Matthew Brady is a wonderful one, and the interactive nature of the ride, it puts you in the story. You sort of become part of it, and you get more of an ownership of the story. I love the way you've done that. And also, I found out last night too that you've written lyrics and some of the music and some of the songs for the experience on the ride. I had no idea you had this extra talent.
Musical theatre is one of the things I do. Some people might remember me from the Phantom of the Opera, that I played the Phantom in Launceston and a few other musical shows. So
it's in your blood.
So I basically put that into play to try and create basically a theatrical experience as you go around the ride, and coupling that with the animatronics, getting some of my mates in the theatre game, people like Colin Dean, who's down in Hobart. He performs professionally in musicals around Australia. And so recording some of the songs. Yes, I did write the words to most of them. They're based on the historical accounts of what happened. And I've just sort of written the poetry. And in the interpretation panels, the stories, that they're the words of the songs.
Isn't it nice to have a job where you can bring in one of your passions into your day job? I mean, that's a nice thing.
I never thought I'd be running a theme park, but a broad background always comes in handy in any occupation, I think.
Let's talk where we move forward here, because you've got a couple of really exciting plans underway, some of which we've spoken about already on the show.
Yep.
The cable car plan, let's pop that aside for a second, because as you and I were talking off air, you're going to try and work out what you're doing with the hotel site just adjacent to us here at Penny Royal.
Yes.
Before you work out what you want to do exactly with the cable car in terms of where it plugs into this.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you just talk us through where the process is at? Because you were originally, I was reading, going to make the development application for the cable car.
Yes.
Around about now-ish.
That's right. We have plans to develop a cable car that would go from Penny Royal into the gorge, basically along the, the northern boundary of the West Launceston Road Reserve, and basically popping over the hill. With the way things worked out in the election, our group is neither in favour or against any particular party at all, but what we do like to see is that we actually have representatives in Cabinet. We used to have that with Richard Colbeck. He was someone who was very helpful in supporting tourism, and with Tasmania now no longer having anyone in Cabinet, we haven't got a voice there. Something like, for example, the cable car, we would be investing, over $6 million, but it would involve some public infrastructure like car parking for council, and also slip roads and the like off the West Tamar Highway, and that was in the order of $6 million, and that's according to our engineers of public infrastructure. And to ask for the federal government to provide that kind of money is difficult in circumstances where, Tasmania no longer has a voice in Cabinet. So I think there's an opportunity there down the track, and whether it's Labor or Liberal or however the mix is, as long as Tasmania is adequately represented in Cabinet with ministerial positions, I think there's more opportunity to get that kind of funding for developments like the gondola or other developments in tourism. So what we've done is, as well, we've purchased the TRC site, which goes from Patterson Street, Margaret Street, through to Brisbane Street. We've just had a development application approved for the 100 car park in that area.
Yep.
It's 87 plus a few other bits and pieces of areas that could take it to 100 cars. And what we would like to do is we're already in discussion with some architects, and we'll be having four architects provide concepts for us to look at for the redevelopment of that into a hotel that might have about 150 rooms, 500-seat conference centre, and what we would like to do as well is explore the option, would it be more economic in terms of less public money required if we were to extend the gondola not just to the top of the cliff near Pennyroyal and have gardens, have parking within Jubilee Gardens, which some people might know the zigzag road
there. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
But we might also be able to extend it further across, and it might actually go to the hotel itself on the top floor, and maybe have a wine bar at the top of the top of the hotel. So that is very, very preliminary concepts. We don't know whether that's possible or not. So what we've told the engineers on the gondola is to basically don't do any further work until we work up the hotel proposal with the architects and we see what is possible and what's not possible. And if it's not possible to take it through to there, then we would once again be looking at the top of the Pennyroyal cliffs.
So, okay, that's actually potentially very exciting, isn't it? Because how high is the hotel you're planning? How many stories?
It's at least seven stories. It could go to nine. Okay. It depends on how many rooms are in the hotel. So if it was in the order of, 120 rooms, it might be seven. But if it was 160 rooms, it might get it up to about nine stories.
Gosh, that would be wonderful to have the cable car terminate on the roof of the hotel.
Well, I think it would be quite unique.
Just the view from there, I mean, coming off the gondola from that view and then landing on the roof of the hotel with views straight out over the Tamar, for example. I mean, and Launceston CBD. Yeah.
What it would do, if it would even be a better link to the city, you would have the Bathurst Street car park not far away, and there are discussions that council have amongst themselves about developing that into multi-storey. So when it comes to car parking, there would be plenty of public car parking within half a block's walk. The hotel itself would have an additional 150 car spaces in addition to the 100. So we would have 250 car spaces. They might develop there 300 or 400 at Bathurst Street. It's right near the city, and we'd probably just have a bigger lift so it could take more people up to the top deck.
Okay.
But these are all preliminary thoughts.
Of course, but all of the great actualities come from preliminary thoughts, people having an idea, people having a dream and trying to action it. You've got to have the concept first, don't you? I mean, it's important to do that.
And I should be upfront about it. Joe was certainly a critical person in terms of, maybe we could take it to the top of the hotel. So that was actually Joe's idea.
Great idea. Yeah. Look, I'm concerned about your suggestion that perhaps we're not getting the representation in cabinet that we need now. I mean, I'm very aware of the issue, and there were concerns expressed by business people such as yourself after the election that this was not going to be a good outcome for Tasmania. So what I'm asking you now is you are feeling the impact. It's materially impacting your business not having that ability to get into the cabinet space via a local representative.
I guess what I would say is now that we don't have a ministerial representative, particularly someone in tourism, but someone in cabinet, that's certainly been a factor in our decision to delay moving forward with the gondola, because it would involve asking for federal funds for public infrastructure.
And you don't feel that there is anybody able to effectively do that lobbying on our behalf?
What's currently happening, as I understand it from tourism representatives, is that our tourism, heads of tourism bodies, as in whether it be Tourism Tasmania or the Tourism Industry Council, they actually jump on a plane, fly up to Canberra and do direct lobbying of, say, tourism ministers, whereas perhaps in the past, while they may have done that, they would also have a local advocate who would be in the cabinet saying this is something that needs to be given an allocation of resources in the next budget or however. And if you haven't got a representative at that ministerial and cabinet level, it's common sense that you are not going to have the ear of the Prime Minister and as to the same extent.
I guess crystal ball gazing, that situation may change at some point in the not too distant future.
That's right, and if things change, and you know whether it's Labor or Liberal, as I said, we're business people, we deal with both sides of politics.
Or the same party, but possibly a different Prime Minister with a different cabinet mix. I wouldn't rule that out at this stage.
Well, I won't go there.
Well, I know you are. You won't. Tell me, Dean, what's the... I'm speaking with Dean Cocker, who's the Managing Director of the JAC Group, responsible for this brilliant, brilliant redevelopment of the Penny Royal. What are the plans for the other end of the cable car, where it terminates at the basin?
So the intention there would be a station located not that far from the glass inclinator.
Okay, yep.
So basically disabled people, the elderly... or people who just aren't as physically fit would be
looking at one.
Right.
Elderly, yep. And lack of fitness.
Well, I mean, this is a pretty critical thing. Some people,
I agree.
Some people say, you know, well, you can get great views from the zigzag track, yes, but not many people actually have the physical fitness to do that.
Yep.
Families with their pusher prams, children, people who are not that physically able are not able to experience a zigzag track, and this ride would actually be above the tree canopy,
yep.
Which means it would even be a superior view even to the zigzag track. But basically it would drop people down into the gorge. The view of the actual infrastructure would be hidden by the hills and the trees from, let's say, if you were at the Alexandra Bridge.
Yep.
So it would be relatively discreet, and it's also because of the curve that's on the southern side of the gorge, Cataract Gorge Hill that
yep.
goes up to West Launceston, because of the curvature of it and because the gondola would be up on the near the top of it, when you're actually through the middle of the cataract walk
yep.
and you look up, the
yep.
curvature would actually stop you from seeing the cable car.
You're not going to see it at all. As you do the walk from, say, Kingsbridge, just here.
Yes.
Up the path on the, what would it be, the northwestern side, would it?
Yes.
Northwestern
yep.
side.
Yep.
You won't see the cable car at all.
You won't see the cable car. You won't see it. And that's the intention. It's designed to be discreet that way. But, of course, when you're in the cable car, you're above the canopy. The views of Launceston, and if it went through to the top of the TRC new hotel...
Brilliant.
The views of the city and down the river would be spectacular, but then you would also, in the gorge, have a spectacular view.
Dean, congratulations. I know a huge amount of hard work's gone into getting Penny Royal to where it is now. Clearly, this is not the end of the plan for the precinct, and when you have a look at it in totality, what you're planning to do with the hotel site, with the cable car, you know, the parking and access, it really will turn this part of Launceston, as you say, just adjacent to the CBD, into a proper tourism precinct, won't it? Entertainment,
yep.
eating, visual, experience the gorge in a way that you've never been able to experience it before without having to walk. You talk about pusher prams. There's lots of young mums around who are bringing the kids in for a bounce on the castle and having a coffee.
Yep.
And they would, on the cable car,
yep.
have access to the basin without having to do the whole push and the whole up the stairs and all that.
That's right.
Okay,
and you know, $20 a ride is not really too expensive, we would have thought.
No, look, you know, it's again, when you're looking at inbound tourism, what was it? We've just declared a million from the mainland.
From the mainland,
million inbound tourists last year is extraordinary. So this is the growing market that you're looking at tapping into and providing jobs, generating wealth. I mean, it's all about growing the pie, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Dean, it's a great pleasure. Thank you very much for hosting us here today. I'm having an absolute ball. It is one of the great places to do an outside broadcast, bar none.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time. Dean Cocker, who's the Managing Director of the JAC Group, responsible for everything you see here at Penny Royal. Come and say good day. This is Taz Talks. I'm Brian Carlton.
For Sunrise Bakery, let us do the cooking. Another Tasmania Talks podcast.
A few weeks ago, I received a phone call out of the blue from a person who at the moment shall remain nameless, but a very well-known politician in state. I said, look, I'm doing a bit of work for Launceston RSL, trying to help them out for their centenary, and could you come and give a bit of a speech? at a big dinner. And I went, okay, sure. What's the no problem at all? Happy to help out the RSL. Happy to do that. And a month or so transpires, and when you actually sit down and meet with the people from the RSL, which I've now done, you realise there's a bloody huge problem we need to sort here. The Launceston RSL building, the actual physical building, is in desperate need of a new roof. Reason: the old one's leaking. And when you consider that there is a museum section of the RSL, where there is a large number of bits and pieces of memorabilia, some of which are more than a century old, we can't afford to lose that heritage. We can't afford to that state heritage, apart from anything else, but certainly our military heritage is hugely important, remembering the sacrifices that others made so we are who we are today. It's important to make that link. And look, on that basis, I want to have a chat with the RSL, because damn, we're going to try and raise some money. I mean, I'm not going to put too fine a point on it here. We need $25,000 to fix the roof inside and outside of the Launceston RSL, which, as I mentioned, is the oldest chartered RSL sub-branch in Australia. The first. In fact, in the Commonwealth, if I'm not mistaken. In the Commonwealth. Okay. Joining me out here at Penny Royal is Graham Barnett, who's the president of the Launceston RSL sub-branch, and Nadia Titley, who is the secretary of same. Guys, welcome to Tasmania Talks. Welcome to the Penny Royal. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Now, let's have a chat about this. Two things happening. There's a bike ride that kicks off today. Am I right, or is it...
No, it kicks off tomorrow.
Kicks off tomorrow, does it? Okay. Nadia, let's talk about that first, because it's not a direct RSL thing per se, but you're backing it. They're raising money. Can you just tell us what's happening?
Yeah, that we're going with the dice run that is being held for the Vietnam Veterans and Veterans MC. They run it every year. It's their annual thing, and we're very, very proud to be a sponsor for these guys as their start and finish point.
Okay, and how many riders will there be?
Well, they're predicting to be about 150.
Wow, okay.
Anybody is welcome to attend the dice run. So if it doesn't matter what type of bike you have, even a moped.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
It's only $15 to enter.
You'd cop some abuse, though, wouldn't you, if you turned up in a moped? I mean, they're just... When I say abuse to be... Oh, come on, mate. Dad, you bring your proper bike. You know, that kind of good-natured abuse I'm talking about. Okay, so this is... Whereabouts are the bikes going to be, and I guess where do people need to be aware of them and give them some money as they're rolling through?
Yeah.
But also just be aware that they're not bikers, they're not outlaws, they're not a criminal gang.
No, absolutely, okay. No way. They're going down, we'll be going down to Scottsdale, we'll be stopping in Scottsdale, we'll be also going down to Bridport and Lilydale.
Okay.
They will be having raffle tickets, so please, guys, come along and just purchase a raffle ticket. The raffle ticket will be drawn back at the RSL when they conclude.
Okay, fabulous. Now, the other big event, and this is kind of the key one, is the Diamond Gala Ball, which is on, not this Saturday, but next Saturday at Country Club. And it's to, I guess, celebrate and also raise money for the aforementioned roof. But Graham, let me bring you in here. You are the president of the Launceston RSL sub-branch, and you're a Timor vet, an Iraq vet. You retired as a lieutenant colonel. You've got a sterling military career behind you.
I don't think you'd actually say sterling. Well, some of the higher ups wouldn't say sterling.
I don't care, mate. You've done things that most of us don't do on our behalf, and for that I'd like to thank you for your personal sacrifice over the years. But mate, the work goes on, doesn't it? Now that you've returned and you're full on into the RSL movement. We do have an issue with the roof here, don't we? How bad is it?
Well, I've got two buckets in my office. So
two? Only two?
Yeah, only two. I'm pretty lucky.
Okay.
But most of the people have got buckets somewhere. It makes it uncomfortable. We do a lot of work to help the veterans and non-veterans, anyone ex-ADF who's got a problem with compensation or anything like that. We've got advocates, so-called, who know the ins and outs of the three different bits of legislation that cover people in the ADF who are bent, broken, or just slightly stuffed.
And it's now acknowledged that PTSD is a recognised thing. it does need to be dealt with. It needs to be dealt with by professionals, those who see things that would just, you know, basically horrify all of us, and then expect to come back and live a normal life and slot back into reality again. It's incredibly difficult when you've been living and operating under circumstances that are anything but normal and natural.
I think the greatest problem, it's slowly becoming more recognised. The Australian Defence Force train you very well to cope whilst you're away.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter what happens, that's just part of the deal, you get on with your job. But when you come home, they don't untrain you.
Yeah.
So you're forever... I mean, I can remember back to when the guys came back from Vietnam, there'd be a car backfire on the street and there'd be five jokers on the ground. We're not quite that bad these days, I don't think, but... there are other things that happen that you really need to be untrained, and you need psychological help for that.
And there is, look, I sometimes think that people forget that the association between the RSL and veterans goes beyond Vietnam. I mean, the Afghanistan guys, the Iraq guys, the Timor guys, such as yourself. I mean, we've fought in many, many theatres over, since the Vietnam War, obviously, you know, Korea prior to that. It's an ongoing thing. The need or the work of the RSL movement doesn't stop now. In fact, if anything, it's possibly ramping up because the nature of the conflict is these asymmetrical wars we're fighting these days take a huge toll on those who are fighting in them.
Well, that's right. You don't get a break to go back from the front line and get a little bit of sleep or anything like that. You're on your toes 24/7. It's different. Some people say it's not a real war. Well, one war that is.
No, I don't. You'll never hear that from me, mate. You'll never hear that from me. I've spoken to too many of your colleagues from many of the theatres we're talking about, and some of the horror stories I couldn't tell on the radio. I just couldn't. I mean, I couldn't. No.
And I think that's a lot of the problem.
Okay.
I didn't tell my wife for years some of the things that had happened to me. And an old company star major of mine said, you used to take my advice back then, why don't you take it now? Go home, you've got to tell your wife. And it was the best thing that ever happened.
So talking about it's important, isn't it?
It is, but then again, you don't really want to tell them everything you've seen and done because it's not suburbia, I can give you the drum.
No, totally get it. Okay, money. We need 25. Yeah, okay. Let's go through the process first. You've applied for how many grants from federal, state government to try and raise the money to fix the roof of the Launceston RSL? What's the process been like? And everybody's knocked you back.
Well, they sort of did, but then this morning we got a phone call, or Nadia received a phone call. The Premier apparently is going to give us some money. He can't tell us how much.
That's some good news. That's fabulous.
Well, yeah, that's terrific.
Well, good on you, Mr. Hodgman, for responding to that. So that's terrific.
And we have an application in with the Department of Veterans Affairs, and we're just hopeful that we get some for that.
Okay.
But of course, they never give you the lot.
No.
They will make a contribution.
Okay, so we need to sort of extend this out into a broader community effort, I would have thought, and anybody who's ever benefited from the RSL or had anything to do with the RSL at all knows what a terrific organisation it is and how much hard work goes in from endless numbers of volunteers just to keep the thing ticking along. Okay, let's talk about the Diamond Gala Ball that's on at Country Club, not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday to celebrate the centenary of the Launceston RSL sub-branch. You've asked me to go along and speak, which I'm hugely honoured to do and happy to do. I'm going to put out a challenge. We need ticket sales are important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So the tickets are 120?
Yes.
Okay. And the funds raised go to?
The
roof.
Yeah, roof.
Okay. So you can help out. What I'm going to do is ask you, my listener, to purchase as many of these tickets as you possibly can to not go to the night so you don't have to hear me. Okay? So it's going to cost you $120 not to hear me. I know that's a bit perverted, isn't it? A bit weird, but look, I'm very happy to do it. We need as many people there as we can, obviously. 120. Where can people get tickets? And the funds go to the roof project. That's the plan. Okay. How do we do it? How do we buy?
Okay, all you have to do is you can come and see me at the RSL.
Okay. which is Wellington Street in Launceston?
Yep, 313 Wellington Street in Launceston.
Okay, so you literally pop in and you can purchase the tickets there?
Yeah, absolutely. We have people there. We need to have final numbers soon.
Final numbers. Okay, so really get on this, guys, if you can today, because Nadia needs to go back to the venue with numbers on
Monday at the latest.
Monday at the latest.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's next Saturday at Country Club, which is the 5th of November, is it, from memory?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yep.
The 5th of November. And look, there, Michelle O'Byrne is going to be the MC. I'll be there. We need to fill about 80 seats. And it's the Diamond Gala Ball for the RSL, the Launceston sub-branch RSL, which is the oldest RSL sub-branch in the Commonwealth. I'm not surprised. I won't actually want to mention that. I'm not at all surprised that Launceston was the first to respond to the needs of returning soldiers. The sense of community here is like nothing I've ever observed anywhere on the mainland, and I've lived in a couple of three places around the country. Nothing like it at all. So the idea that the need for an RSL-type organisation was recognised and acted upon right here a century ago is no surprise to me at all, because that community spirit lives through to today. I'm getting SMSs from people now that I know offering to help with the roof.
Okay,
I can't give you too many details at the moment because it's all a bit early, but people are prepared to help and offer whatever expertise or materials that they possibly can for the project. So I'm confident we're going to do this. It might take a little while, but it's the right place to do it. It's such a wonderful community here. I'm hugely overwhelmed by it.
One of the problems with the roof is when the building was built, and for those that know Launceston, it's the old DMR building up in Wellington Street. They built it with the capability to extend upwards. So all the piers are coming up through the roof.
Oh, okay.
So it's all the flashing around all those piers that obviously weren't made of the same stuff as the roof.
Yeah, right, okay.
And that's where the cause of most of the problem is. It's not just a matter of laying 16 sheets of roofing iron.
Yeah.
It's laying 16 sheets of roofing iron with 24 holes in them.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, and there's problems with window seals as well, too. I mean,
really bad.
All right. Okay, so the Diamond Gala Ball is on at Country Club, not tomorrow night, but next Saturday. If you can manage to get along, it's $120. There's a commemorative medal you've made too. That's lovely, Nadia.
Yeah. This medal you can't actually purchase. It is has been made directly through the military shop, and everybody that attends the ball will receive
one. We'll get one of them.
Yes.
Wow, that's really special. The centenary, 1916 to 2016, lest we forget. Launceston RSL sub-branch. That's a wonderful thing you've done, Nadia. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, gang, if you can help out, drop into the RSL Wellington Street in Launceston. We need a new roof. We need some coin. If you've got any expertise, if you can help out on with tickets for the next Saturday night, come along and see me try not to make a goose of myself. Yeah?
I'd rather see you make a goose of yourself so they get their money's worth.
Maybe I'll do that. I'll wear a chicken suit. Graham Barnett, president of the Launceston RSL sub-branch, and Nadia Titley, who's the secretary of same. Appreciate it, guys. We'll stay on this. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's go to the phones just quickly. Andrew Philpott is a bloke you would know well. Was one of the organisers of the big MND ball a couple of weeks ago that was hugely successful. Andrew, hello, mate. How are you going?
G'day, mate. How you going?
Look, I'm really well. What can I do for you, Andrew?
Mate, like to offer a bit of help for the RSL. Been talking with another scaffolding company who supply the gear. We'd love to do it for nothing, but you know, I've got to pay a couple of blokes.
Andrew, no, the RSL absolutely doesn't expect anything for nothing. What they do want to do is try and raise the money. Now, as you heard, the Premier has called through with an offer of an unspecified amount of money. But really, the coin we're talking about here in the overall scheme of things is not vast. It's $25,000. But mate, the RSL will be very happy to pay for whatever work is done for insurance purposes and stuff. It makes sense to do it that way.
Yeah,
but Andrew,
you're an incredibly generous bloke, mate.
You're an incredibly generous bloke.
No. it's all for the good cause, mate. They obviously listened to those people talking there earlier, only caught a bit of it. It's pretty important that we give them a decent roof and they get on with doing what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of memorabilia there that needs to be protected from the elements as well, which is another concern of theirs. So, Andrew, mate, I always appreciate your input, mate. You're an absolute bloody trooper. And just as soon as... as soon as we need some help, the first bloke on the phone is without exception, Andrew Philpott. Mate, thank you. I'll come back to you, Andrew. We'll organise this, mate. We'll get something together.
I'll chase some,
thank
I'll
you, buddy.
Some roof as well. I'm at it, mate.
All right, mate. Good on you. I know you will. Thank you, brother. Thank you, mate. He's a wonderful man, Andrew Philpott. He owns ProScaff, and he's happy to help however he can. And just, well, what a terrific guy.
For My Pathway, for all your employment training and recruitment needs, another Tasmania Talks podcast.
Broadcasting live today from Penny Royal in Launceston, and it is, the sun's just come out. How good's that? The sun's now reflecting off the waterfall, and it's doing little, rainbow things everywhere. It's fabulous. Okay, now the Penny Royal is just a wonderful, wonderful place. It's so again, you really got to come here and sort of describe. You need to see it for yourself, just to get a feel for it. It's impossible to convey the vibe of the joint with words. It's something you actually have to experience. Hi, ladies. See you later. There's lots of bye bye. Enjoy. Have fun. There's some lots of tourists wandering around here at the moment, and they're taking photos and doing all kinds of things. Big smiles on faces. We love that. Andy Sutherland is the Penny Royal chef, and he happens to be sitting next to me here at the studio. How are you going, mate?
Good morning.
How's things? You're flat out preparing for tonight, are you?
We are. We're flat to the floor, ready to go, and getting lots of food ready for tomorrow night's big event.
It's going to be huge, isn't it? I've got a bit of a surprise I'll reveal shortly, a way you can get in tomorrow night with a bit of a discount. There's a secret word going around that Dean Cock has given me, and I'll give it to you. I'm doing a little bit of cheating. So what's on the menu for tomorrow? What are we eating here in Tasmania at the moment? What are we enjoying?
I think the biggest thing I'm enjoying at the moment is the scallops. We're in scallop season, and it's just unbelievable.
What are you doing with them?
I'm just cooking them with salt and pepper.
As little as possible.
As little as possible. I think you don't need to do much with the best ingredients in the world.
And where do you see is there a food trend coming on board that we're about to jump onto, or is it all just really fresh?
I think it's fresh and simple. Yeah, I think the food trend at the moment is fresh, simple, don't overdo it, use really good ingredients. Don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
I think that any more than five ingredients on a plate, we're getting a bit too much.
You can't. It gets to the point where you're forced to try and appreciate the meal as a work of art rather than something to eat and enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that with the produce that we're getting, we don't have to overcomplicate it. It's full of flavour. You know. So the less we do, the more that the ingredients speak for themselves.
How much of your produce is sourced locally?
I'd say at least 80-90%.
Wow, gee, that's good.
Yes.
Okay, what sort of things are we having to go outside state for?
Some vegetables at the end. It's because spring's just started. Some of our fruit and vegetables are coming in, especially with the weather we've been having.
Yeah.
A lot too wet. But generally, we can get everything we want here.
It's good. It's one of the things I love about Tasmania, isn't it? There's not too many things you can't source from here. The restaurant itself is a beautiful, beautiful place to sit.
Yep,
again, simple but elegant, and set in amongst all this the various period history. It just has a really nice ambiance, doesn't it?
It does.
I hate using that posh word.
I think when you step into the Penny Royal, you step out of Launceston, you step into another world. And it is. You can't see any traffic. You can't see any the city. It's different. Yeah.
And in this natural sort of, well, it's not a natural rock amphitheater. It's an old quarry, obviously. But it gives you that sense of enclosure, doesn't it? And otherworldliness.
Absolutely.
Yeah, how many nights are you open a week?
We're open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. From generally all day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Bookings required.
Bookings required, probably, most likely bookings required, yep. We fill up quite quickly on those nights.
Okay.
Especially for this Saturday night, bookings are coming thick and fast. So, I think we've got about 200 books so far.
Okay, you're going to be busy.
We are.
All right, mate, back to it.
All right.
Off you go. Thank you. Andy Sutherland, who's the chef here at the Penny Royal, and he's going to be a busy boy. There he goes. He's literally running. See you, mate. There he goes. He's got his apron on. He's literally mid-prep, and he's bailed out of the kitchen, and he's running. He's running back to the restaurant. Go, Andy. Get on here, mate. That's dedication for you. Okay, let me tell you a little secret. If you are planning on coming to the Penny Royal tomorrow night and doing the getting your freak on, as they say, for Halloween, it's All Hallows Eve, technically on the 31st, but the big celebration here at Penny Royal is tomorrow evening. Now, from 4 o'clock, there is a special code word that I've been given, a secret code word, that Dean Cocker has given me that you're not allowed to tell anyone that I gave you. Okay? I don't care how you can tell them you came across it. That's not the point. Just do not blame me. Otherwise, I'll be in all sorts of strife. The code word, as you come into Penny Royal tomorrow from 4 p.m., is sewn. Sewn. Okay, remember that, as in sewn your jeans, sewn a shirt, sewn a button. But it is actually, it's actually the Irish word for Halloween, spelled S-A-M-H-A-I-M. But it's pronounced sewn. So when you turn up tomorrow night, jot it down, okay? Jot it down and mention it as you walk in, and you will get in for the price of a kid, okay? Adults or kids prices. Special tomorrow only. The code word, the secret code word, for God's sake, Dean's over there. Don't tell him I'm telling. Sewn. And you'll get in for the price of a kid tomorrow night here at Penny Royal. We're broadcasting live from Same. Come say g'day. Can we get those kids out of the jumping castle? Out of the thing? I need to have a go on the pumpkin. What do you mean I'm too fat and old for that? Oh, come on.
The Sunrise Bakery. Let us do the cooking. Another Tasmania Talks podcast.
Okay, 1300 00 10 12 is the telephone number. I mentioned the bikes earlier, the dice rallies on that the Launceston RSL sub-branch is supporting. There's going to be cars too this weekend. Not just ordinary cars, though. The Veteran Car Club of Australia is holding its national rally in the northwest over the next week or so. And look, it's going to be fabulous because these cars are old. Jill Hawkins is from Turner's Beach, and she is from the Veteran Car Club of Australia. G'day, Jill. How are you going?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's good. Now, Jill, how old are some of these cars?
Well, the oldest one we've got entered at the moment is 1906. We did have a 1904, but that had to withdraw for health reasons. And, of course, they can't be any older than 1918, because otherwise they're not veteran.
Okay, so once you get into, what, 1919 or 1920, they become, what, vintage cars, do they?
Vintage cars, right through to the end of 1930. Vintage are, okay. 1919 to the end of 1930. Then you get into post-vintage and classic and modern classic. They're all different categories.
Okay, so here though we're specifically talking about vintage, which runs from pre-1919 and the. Oh, I'm sorry, veteran. Yeah, my mistake. You're right. You know what
no,
you're doing.
No, it's nearly everybody's mistake. It's understandable. It's nearly everybody's mistake.
Okay, no, so how many cars are coming into state, Jill, from the mainland?
I'd say 55 of them at least are from interstate and overseas. We've got two English entrants who've got from Great Britain. One's got a 1910 Newton, I think. There's only five of those left in the world. And they've got a 1912 Renault, which they actually leave in Australia to do rallies out here. But the Newton was restored in Australia and it'll be going back to England after the rally. And, and we're represented by every state in Australia, bar the ACT this time.
They're not a state anyway.
We've even got one from the Northern Territory, so that's great. That's the first time we've ever had an entrant from the Northern Territory. Mm.
That's awesome. Now you got a Studebaker about 15 years ago. I was reading with about 5,000 miles on the clock, and it didn't need anything but a paint job.
No, that's all. Well, we did put a new roof on it. The roof was all right, but it was so dusty, and I have allergies to dust, so we pulled it off, but it did one trip apparently from you between Sydney and Melbourne, and it was bought for a mail run in the Bellingen Valley of New South Wales, and it outgrew it that quickly that it was shedded at 5,028 miles. And Sydney Airport grew around it, and when they finally decided, and at the fellow who had it retired to Queensland, he had it craned out because he couldn't access it by any other way, and took it up there and meanwhile then died, and we got the opportunity to buy it. So it was wonderful.
Gosh, what a find.
It was. It was a brilliant find. My husband was saying that the teeth on the diff and the gears still had the shine from new on them. They're absolutely perfect.
Gosh. Wow, that's amazing. Now, it should be pointed out that any of us modern car drivers, many of the vehicles that are in the Veteran Car Club National Rally over the weekend, you'd struggle to actually drive them, wouldn't you? Because none of the controls are in quite the same places that we're familiar with the controls now.
Yeah, it depends. They're all very different. Like a T model's driven totally differently to any of the other cars, and I think you really have to use a different hemisphere of the brain to be able to operate one of those. Yes. And see, some of them, like our Derek has got, and there is another Derek, we're not taking ours, but our Derek has got three-speed column change, but most of them don't have. The brushes, they have a semi-automatic gear box, first one in
that's
the world.
That's extraordinary. That's amazing. Yeah. So, what, 1907, and they had a semi-automatic gearbox?
Yes, they were from 1907 till about 1912, I think. They had a wooden chassis and a wooden axles, but they had coil suspension, and they had a semi-automatic gearbox. So they were sort of a real mix from very old, antiquated to very modern ideas in this unusual car.
Indeed. So, Jill, we need to alert everyone, don't we, to just be aware that these veteran cars will be on the road over the weekend. Give them space. Yes. Understand that they don't go that fast, although, well, you know, you're not going to be doing 110. No way.
Most of them will do the 30 mile an hour, the old 30 mile an hour, and some will go a bit faster than that. Yeah.
All right. Okay, so, Jill, whereabouts are they going to be? Let's start with Sunday, because it's Sunday to Friday, isn't it, next week? All over the northwest.
And I've been getting very confused because Monday's not the first. Monday's the 31st of October. So I've been getting muddled with the day. So can I just start at the beginning and go through? Because I know them by that rate. I won't give you the date, though. The Sunday, we go at 2 p.m. we leave the Veteran Car Club rooms in Maskells Road in Ulverston, which is right next door to Camp Clayton. You come down that road. And we do a run in the Ulverston hinterland. We're going out up Stubbs's Road, and that's the steepest pinch all week. And it's to ensure that they know if their car can get up there, they're fine. And then we're going to go up through Kindred and cross across and come back down through Gawler. Then the next day we have a run down to Wynyard. We have morning tea at the Somerset Surf Club, so people could come and have a look around morning tea time. Then we're going as far as Tollamore Road, and we're going to come back around through Table Cape to give them the specky views there, and we're going to look at the lighthouse and what's left of the tulips, and there's another fellow who's got a farm that just overlooks all back towards Devonport from the coast, and we'll have lunch at Wynyard, and they'll be parked behind the... We're lunching at the senior sits, but I think it's the Adult Education Centre, a grassed area there we're parking. Tuesday, we go to Sheffield. We go to Tasmania for morning tea, Blackstone for lunch, Redwater Steam after that, and then we make our way home. Wednesday we've got an optional run, but they'll be going sort of doing the Don train out to the lighthouse at Devonport, around through Latrobe, down to Truffle Danvers, because they actually supported the rally, and then they'll make their way back here. Thursday we go to Sassafras. We were going to go to Mersey Lee, but then the floods came and we had to change everything. We're having morning tea at the Sassafras School. We're having lunch at the Port Sorrell School. Driving past an old people's home. We do that on two occasions. And then we're going to visit Chas Kelly's brilliant car collection at Port Sorrell, the Ghost Rock Vineyard, and back here. And then Friday, we do a run around the Braddon's Lookout so that they can all get a beautiful view down towards the west from Ulverston, into Ulverston High, so the kids can come and have a look at the cars and talk to the drivers, up to Sprint for morning tea, then up to the Leaving Canyon, and then back to Ulverston and our rally dinners that night. So we've really got a very comprehensive week of motoring.
And very well presented, may I say, Jill. That was amazing. No, I'm almost tempted to go and get myself a veteran car just so I can do the tour with you. It sounds wonderful.
Well, my husband carted bulk milk for 32 years to Lactos. What was Lactos? Not Lactos anymore. Mind you, the new owners' line have supported the rally as well. And He knew every nook and cranny from in the areas we're going, as did the other person, Kevin Richardson, who helped plan the rally routes, because he used to he had a business where he cleaned carpets and cleaned up after floods and all that sort of thing. So what Peter didn't know about a corner of the Northwest Coast, Kevin did. So we've tried to include absolutely everything that we can think is feasible in the rally route. They pay a lot of money to come to Tassie, and we want them to see as much as they can in that time.
Absolutely. And look, we need to give them a very, very warm and Tasmanian-friendly welcome. Jill, thank you so much for having a chat with me. This is really wonderful.
Right.
The Veteran Car Club of Australia's National Rally kicks off on Sunday, as you heard, Jill, all over the northwest. And just be aware that there will be some vehicles on the road that don't quite go as fast as yours, probably don't handle as well, brake as well, accelerate as well. But I tell you what, they're a hell of a lot of fun. The Veterans Car Club of Australia National Rally in the Northwest over the next week. Keep an eye out for them.
For My Pathway, for all your employment, training and recruitment needs, another Tasmania Talks podcast.
1300 00 10 12 is the telephone number. Tasmania Talks, I'm Brian Carlton, broadcasting live today from the Penny Royal, and wow, what a cracking place to be. Let me go back to Matthew. We tried to grab him just before the song there, and we'll just see what he wanted. Matthew from Ulverston. Hello, mate. How are you going?
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm very well, my friend. What can I do for you, Matt?
Good. My apologies there. I was driving a truck and couldn't get the radio switched off in time to pick up.
That's all right, mate. Not a problem. You know, real life impinges on a radio program every now and again. That's
it
all
does,
good, mate.
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Okay. Firstly, just using good old Pre-Range Friday.
Yep.
It's Ulverston show this Saturday, obviously. And I am tied up with Show Jumping Tasmania. I'm lucky enough to be the regional chair for Show Jumping Tas in the northwest region of our lovely state.
Ah, okay. Right.
So now tomorrow, just letting people know, if you're looking for the horses and the show jumping, we're over at Batten Park. And we have quite a wonderful opportunity tomorrow, because we, as a branch, run the Spring 1000, which is sponsored by Better Milk. And in conjunction with the Northern Show Jumping Branch and Cotswold Stables at Freighton, we're going to be running the horse and rider combination that can win both the Spring 1000 and the Futurity. We've put up a $400 cash prize, so there's going to be a fairly hotly contested little competition tomorrow about mid-morning.
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought it's about a good time to give a bit of a sprue to it, and we'd love some spectators to come down and watch and just let everyone know where we are.
Ulverston shows tomorrow. Fantastic.
Yes,
all right.
Tomorrow. So down at Batten Park for the show jumping.
Batten Park for the show jumping tomorrow. What time, Matt?
We're kicking off at 8 o'clock. But I imagine the Spring 1000 will probably start. That class will probably start about 11, I reckon.
All righty. Okay. So it's going to be a big weekend, nonetheless.
My word, it is.
Okay. Matthew, happy to take your call, mate. That's sort of what this part of this show is about, is getting those sort of events out to the people, because there's so much going on here. I mean, every weekend there's just a huge number of activities going on all over the place, and if we can get noise out there to get bums on seats and people in cars or whatever the case may be on horses, I'm happy to do it.
For Sunrise Bakery, let us do the cooking. Another Tasmania Talks podcast.
1300 00 10 12 is the telephone number. Let me go to Martin Aggerson from 7AD and 7BU. He hosts Across the Coast in the afternoon and the Saturday Sports Show with Martin Aggerson. G'day, Martin. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, good, Brian. You said there's always happening here. There's always something happening.
No, isn't. Oh, God, isn't there? What now? Derby Day at Flemington tomorrow.
Yeah, this is a big race going into, of course, the Melbourne Cup on Tuesday. The Amy Victoria Derby is what it's all about, 2,500 metres. That's on at 3:50. But the Lexus Stake, also over the same distance at 1:40, that's got a ballot-free entry into the Melbourne Cup for the winner. So there's a chance for someone to sneak into the field there. Real Love was pretty disappointing in the Caulfield Cup, was one of the tips. He's running in the Lexus Stakes, has qualified for the Cup though, but if it has a poor run again tomorrow, I think a lot of people might jump off it on Tuesday. Hartnell is still the favourite, second in the Caulfield Cup at $4.20. Jamaica, the Caulfield Cup winner, at $5.50, even though it won by 8 lengths over Hartnell. I think obviously, you know, Hartnell's a better distance horse. Bondi Beach is the third favourite at 11. And I like the run of Caulfield Cup third place getter Exospheric. Absolutely flew down the outside, and although not tested over the distance, good value at $17 if you want to jump on that one early. But as we always say, Brian, bet responsibly.
Yes. Okay. I'm going to take your word for it there, Martin. I have no no mail I can add to that whatsoever. But we do have some ocean racing. Melbourne to Stanley Yacht Race this weekend.
Yeah, just quickly, the final acceptances for the Melbourne Cup are declared at 4:30 tomorrow, so we'll know who our field is by then. Melbourne to Stanley Yacht Race. It's the first of the ocean racing season, and this is a warm-up for everyone. It's also what they call a qualifying race for the Sydney to Hobart. So if you want to get on the Sydney to Hobart, you have to have done a race like the Melbourne to Stanley or like last year's Melbourne to Hobart or something like this. So this one starts at the ungodly time of 1:30 a.m. tomorrow morning at Queenscliff, right near the bay.
What? What?
Well, it's to do with the tides. I think they've got to get out of the mouth of Port Phillip Heads, of course. You know, and if the tide's running against you and there's no wind, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's hideous. That's really hideous.
It is,
okay,
yeah.
Sheffield Shield action too, Martin.
Yeah, just quickly on the Melbourne to Stanley race. The race record's 14 hours and 36 minutes. They'd have to finish by 3 o'clock tomorrow to do that, and the weather conditions aren't that favourable. 152 nautical miles, and the race director tells me they're expecting the first shot around about 7 o'clock. And you know how much yachtsmen like to celebrate. There is the Dockside Festival at Stanley when they get there tomorrow, also kicking off at 7. What was the other one, Brian?
The other one, Sheffield Shield.
Oh,
Tigers.
Yes. I'd rather not talk about this, to be honest. Tasmania's got their back against the wall, up against Melbourne, up against Victoria at the MCG. It's a twilight match, so it resumes at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Victoria's 415 and 9 for 204 declared in their two innings. Tasmania resumed this morning at 3 for 19, 255 in their first innings, and if you do the maths on that, they're chasing 345 runs for victory. Unlikely at this stage, I'd say.
Yeah, it's probably a reasonable call. Martin, I appreciate it, mate. Thank you very much. Martin Aggerson, who hosts Saturday Sport with Martin Aggerson on 7AD and 7BU. You can catch him tomorrow morning, and he'll join us again on Monday with a bit of a wrap as to what did actually happen in sport over the weekend.
For My Pathway, for all your employment, training and recruitment needs, another Tasmania Talks podcast.
Joining me on the line, I just want to wrap with this today, Belinda Kisso. Is from New Horizons, and New Horizons is a wonderful club started up many, many years ago by Robin Hansen, and the new CEO, Belinda, is her daughter. And there's a significant ball on tomorrow evening, the 29th, and we need some help. Belinda, how are you going? Welcome to Tasmania Talks. How are you? It's the 30th anniversary gala ball tomorrow. Hi, Belinda.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Look, I'm very well. You need some ticket sales, do you?
We do. Ticket sales or donations for those that are too busy to come would be great. Being our 30th birthday, we're really trying to raise money so we can continue to provide sport and recreation for people with disabilities in our local area.
It's a hugely important job you do, Belinda, and look, we've all watched the Paralympics recently. We know how disabled people respond to sport and how sport responds to them. It's a wonderful, wonderful sort of marriage. And I just want to get it out there that you need as much help as you can. What's the best way for people to be able to support you or indeed get a ticket for tomorrow night?
If they give us a call on 6326 3344 here at New Horizons Club, or they can go on our website, purchase tickets through there. If they give us a call, we can have a chat to them and see how people can help out.
Okay, whereabouts is it on tomorrow night, Belinda?
It's at the Grand Chancellor in Launceston.
Okay. And how many more ticket sales do you need between now and then?
Just as many as possible, but we'd love to sell probably two more tables would be great. Yeah.
Two more tables would be great. Okay, this is New Horizons, which is a club dedicated to connecting disabled people with sport, which is fabulous. The ball is tomorrow evening at the Grand Chancellor. That's October 29. And if you can contact that number, 6326 3344, and purchase a ticket and just help out. Belinda, thanks very much for having a chat with me this morning, and I hope it goes fabulously for you.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us.
That's okay. Belinda Kitto from New Horizons. The ball is on tomorrow night. If you can help them out too, I'd hugely appreciate it. Okay. Look, thanks, gang. Thanks for your company this week. We'll do it all again from Monday. I'll make up the free range Friday for you. I promise we might do a couple of them next week with just calls. Come and say g'day to the people at the Penny Royal. Remember, Penny Royal tomorrow from 4 o'clock, the secret word to get in for the price of a kid is Sowen. Sowen. Have a great Halloween. Happy birthday to my little daughter. And I'll talk to you Monday at 9 o'clock. This is Brian Carlton. Thanks.
For Sunrise Bakery, let us do the cooking. Another Tasmania Talks podcast.